Welcome. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, I welcome you. I'm glad to be here among you and have this opportunity to preach from God's Word. I ask a special request for your prayers today. You may have seen the screen go down and back up. And you may see my computer sitting over there on my chair. It is not working. And you may have seen me quickly scratching down scriptures. So I'd like to ask your prayers that whatever I speak, it's God's will. And that His Spirit guide me as our brother Dan spoke. So we just heard a few hymns. This morning in Sunday school, we heard this hymn. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your corner, I in mine. Jesus bids us shine, first of all, for Him. Well, He sees and knows it if our lights are dim. He looks down from heaven to see us shine, you in your corner, I in mine. Jesus bids us shine then for all around. Many kinds of darkness in this world are found. Sin and want and sorrow, so we shine, you in your corner, I in mine. In our Bible study, several weeks ago, we had a member of the group request that someone preach a sermon on love and tolerance. And I think that the request was made because there are many kinds of darkness, as this hymn says, in this world. And what should be our response? I think this hymn describes perfectly what our response should be. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light. That should be our response. So this sermon is an attempt to express how we should do that, how we should shine. The first hymn we heard during the sermon this morning is on page 141. And it says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory His army He shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict. In this His glorious day, ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foe. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. But on the gospel armor each piece put on with prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be, he with the King of glory shall reign eternally. And the last song we sang, 259. These all relate to what we should do when we're faced with the darkness of this world. And you know, I'm thinking about that and how often when we come in contact with darkness, whether it's with our own temptations or when somebody is blatantly in front of us committing sin, the temptation there is to just get away. Well, of course, we're supposed to resist temptation, but we're also supposed to shine in this world. We're supposed to relate to people. I'm going to go ahead and read this last hymn. Let us pray for one another, for the day is fading fast, and the night is growing darker, while the scourge goes flaming past. We can see it in the darkness closing round our narrow way, and the snares are growing thicker. For each other, let us pray. We are walking down time's vista. We are very near the end. Let us pray that God the Father may his guiding spirit send. Now the foe becomes more daring, knowing well the latter day. 'Tis the strength of his despairing. For each other, let us pray. Pray in faith and pray unceasing to the God we love and trust. For our prayers are much availing if we walk upright and just. Be not weary of exhorting, heed the lesson of each day, and that we may be unwavering for each other, let us pray. It is waning on toward midnight. Soon we'll hear the watchman say, see, the Son of God is coming. Go and meet him on the way, that our lamps may then be burning, bright enough to guide our way, and that we may share his glory for each other, let us pray. And we should pray for one another that we can be that light in this dark world. I want to start the sermon off with a story. A story of a Plaza Lights preacher. And this is a personal story to me because it happened in about 1987. And I had experiences with the Lord that I knew God existed, and I turned my back on him. And I was living a life of sin, and I went to the plaza to see the plaza lights turn on, and there were many, many people there. I think that day they said there were near a million. It was a lot of people. And right about, near Brush Creek at one of the main restaurants, there was a fountain out front. And there was a man standing on that fountain. And he had a Bible in his hands and he was reading from the Word of God. And it pierced me to the core of my heart, because he was being mocked by people around, people laughing at him, saying things. And God was able to touch my heart, even though I was, there was all kinds of sin in my life. And he was able to touch me because this man, humbly, was reading from the Word of God. And he showed me this example of shining the light of Christ, being willing to be persecuted for his love for others. And it was a turning point in my life because I saw something so strange. I saw a love so pure. And I craved it. I wanted that love. And so at that point, I began to make steps in my life to make those changes. I looked up the definition of love in the dictionary. I first looked it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, and then I looked it up in a current Merriam-Webster's dictionary. And in the first definition, in 1828 definition, it talked about the love of God. It talked about, it even quoted or referenced John 3:16. And it talked about a pure affection, a pure goodwill, benevolence. And I'm going to read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think about this love of Christ, that he was willing to condescend, to lower himself, to be tempted like we are in every point, in every way, that he might succor us or help us in our temptation. And I think about that example that he gave, how, imagine coming from the perfection of heaven and coming to this world of darkness, of deceit, of lying, of lust. Imagine how uncomfortable he felt. And we're supposed to be like him when we're spreading, shining his light. That means that we have to face uncomfortable situations. We have to love people as God has loved us. We get the opportunity to love people as he has loved us. There's lots of darkness, as we already sang about, in this world. We are going to be meeting more and more people that differ from us in opinion, in choices, that to be able to shine his light, we're going to have to feel uncomfortable around people who sin, like us, like he has for us. It's a part of love, being willing to be in uncomfortable situations and to get to know people. Jesus would go into people's houses and sup with them, people he'd never even met before. sinners. And he taught them about love. The other it was interesting, the comparison between these definitions, because this modern definition of love kept Jesus out of it. There was no mention of God in the modern Merriam-Webster's definition of love. And it was rather selfish, the love that was described in this newer dictionary. And I think about that comparison. You know, the world is seeking love in so many ways. Often people get involved in all kinds of sin because they down deep want love. But what they really want, what each of us really wants, is the love of our Savior, is to know Him and to love others with His love. I'm going to read that scripture that we all know so well about that love in Moroni, chapter 7, verse 52, where it defines that love. Moroni chapter 7, verse 52. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, cleave, hang on to, hold tight, bring it close to you, within you. Cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, it's the greatest gift of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, or the pure love of Christ is charity. And that's true love. That's the love that we crave. That down deep our souls crave. If we feed it, that love, if we allow our souls that love, we have joy. If we love others with that love, we have joy. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. Whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. So if we have that love, when we pass from this life, we'll have it eternally. It'll be well with us. Verse 51 says that charity suffereth long. And is kind. As we're thinking about how it describes charity or the pure love of Christ or true love here, think of Christ and how he exemplified that love. And he did suffer long. Suffered physically. He suffered temptation because he loves us. And he wants to help us resist temptation. He suffered physically. He didn't have a home often. Not because his mom wouldn't give him a place. I'm sure she would. But because he loved people. And he wanted to get out there and tell them about what his father told him. And he wants us to do the same thing. You know, when we're faced with the blatant choices of the sins of this world, when we're faced with it nowadays, when it's not hidden anymore. I mentioned this before, our temptation is to not say anything. And yet, if we love others, we'll say something. Speak the truth in love. But often, though, to be able to say something and have it mean something to them, we have to have some sort of a relationship with them. That can happen quickly. Sean gives testimonies a lot where God gives him words to say when he's at Quick Trip or different places, where he's able to relate to the person God wants him to speak to. And so that can happen quickly, but they have to be able to have some sort of a comfort level with us that when we speak the truth to them, they know it's out of love. I think about our relationship with our kids. If all we ever do is tell them that they do wrong, point out all the wrong things that they're doing, never communicate love to them or encouragement or praise when they do things right, there's no relationship there to build upon. That when we speak the truth, they know it comes from love. So verse 51, Moroni chapter 7, verse 51, and charity suffereth long and is kind. That's real important there. If we're going to speak the truth in a dark world, are we doing it in a kind way? And envieth not. What are we... I'm going to go on. And envieth not, and is not puffed up. There's another example. How do we think we're any better than anybody else? If we do, we're not loving others with the pure love of Christ. Seeketh not her own. That was the whole life of Christ. If he sought his own, he wouldn't have ever come. He wouldn't have lived like he lived if he sought his own. Is not easily provoked. That can be provoked with anger, provoked with lust, provoked in many ways, provoked to sin. Thinketh no evil. When a temptation comes to your mind, do you resist immediately, or do you allow yourself to think on that evil? Rejoiceth not in iniquity. There are many programs on TV where we can be entertained, and if we're allowing ourselves to be entertained with evil, how can the love of God reign in us? But, let's see. And rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. That beareth all things is that persecution that we face when we live the truth. Not only speak the truth, but live the truth. We bear all kinds of persecution, all kinds of trials, all kinds of temptations. Believeth all things and hopeth all things. Christ once again exemplified that. He believed everything his Father said. And he hoped. He had a great hope that you and I would follow him. Endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. The next definition that I looked up was that definition of tolerance. And that was real interesting between the definitions of 1828 and the definitions of today. Tolerance in 1828 meant that you have a difference in belief between you and someone else, but you were willing to be persecuted for your belief. And you would tolerate persecution. And the modern definition was very much different than that. Allowed the difference is the modern definition was you allowed that belief or that act or that behavior without, you know, I understood it to be without saying anything or doing anything or responding or loving. But the key part of that definition of tolerance in 1828 for me was persecution, allowing yourself to be persecuted for your difference in belief. And that reminds me of this definition of love. And Christ talked about that in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. And he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness is right living. And it's right living in the face of temptation and in the face of darkness. It's living that example that Christ lived for us in the face of darkness. And it's doing it out of that foundation of love. And so this says here, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. That means you did right, and you were persecuted because of it. Says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. beginning in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. That we henceforth and the verses before this are talking about how Christ said in the church, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and he said he did this for the perfecting of the saints, those followers of Christ, us, what we hope to be perfected, and for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he's the example. He's what we want to be. We want to be perfect like he was. And in verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So as darkness comes into this world and more in different kinds of temptation, we should not be swayed. Brother Dan in our Sunday school class this morning talked about, he read from Second Book of Nephi, chapter 13. I'm sorry, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. We're going to hold your place in Ephesians because we'll go back to there. Second Book of Nephi, chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1. And this is what we're supposed to do after we're baptized. So, you know, when we're baptized, we're perfect. He's cleansed us of every sin. And we're full of the love of Christ, and we feel it. But what should we do to maintain it? And this answers that question. In 2 Book of Nephi, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, and now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after that ye have entered in the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And he promised that. So what is the tongue of angels? It's going to tell us. Verse 3, and now how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. So it's telling us what that tongue of angels that we're given at baptism is. It's the Holy Ghost speaking through us the words of Christ. And so Dan pointed out, it says in this next verse, it says, wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. And Dan pointed out that there's an importance of feasting on the Word of God and allowing the Holy Ghost to teach you how to apply it in situations when you're faced with sinners that you're supposed to love, that you apply the knowledge that the Word of God teaches you to this situation that you're faced with. Sister Becky mentioned that as well. How else could we ever come close to shining his light, but to feast on his word and allow that gift of the Holy Ghost to guide us in its application? So back to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 14 again. So we're talking about the temptations and the darkness that's in this world, not being swayed by it, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You know, there's a lot of craftiness and deceitfulness in the wisdom of the world, guided by the devil, our enemy, the enemy of our souls. And it can be pretty convincing if we allow it to, but that's the importance of feasting on the Word of God and allowing the Spirit to guide you in the understanding of it and the application of it. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we have, you know, I'm just thinking of when I was in the midst of sin and the deceit that I believed and that came out of my mouth. And yet, God in his love and those who allowed him to love me through them, I was able to, like I said, have his love pierce my soul. And so, it's so important, this next verse, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. That is our response in the face of deceitful men. That is our response. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, Christ, in all things which is the head, even Christ. But speaking the truth in love. I think that's probably the central verse of this sermon. And I think that I see in my own life this willingness to be silent. And I want to go back to that thought that there are so many people seeking love in this world and are seeking for it in the wrong places. And it's our opportunity to teach them about the right place for the right way to love. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's talking about every one of you and I doing our part as members of the body of Christ, functioning as he desires us to in his love, and not fearing, but loving. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind or thinking on your own, which is the opposite of charity, which it would be love, thinking of others, loving others. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. So he's warning us here not, when you're in the world and you're shining, not to allow yourself to be tempted to think on yourself and to allow the temptations of the flesh to pull you away from your first love, that it would take you to darkness and lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if it so be that ye have heard him and have been taught of him by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or behavior. You can exchange that word for conversation for behavior. That ye put off concerning the former behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on. So when you're faced with those temptations of the old man, renew your mind in Christ. Go back to that 14th chapter of the second book of Nephi. Feast on Christ's words and allow his spirit to teach you right living based on that word of God. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know, I think in my life, one of my biggest temptations is lying or deceit. And this shows the importance of speaking the truth. There's freedom in speaking the truth. When you lie or deceive, there's bondage. Our brother Jacob this morning talked about the importance of visiting. And that visiting really is all about establishing relationships or maintaining relationships. He talked about visiting our brother Dick Wheaton and our sister Joyce Harris and others who are in need of our visits. We should visit with one another. And you know, we should visit also with people who aren't in this body. I was remembering our brother John Gill's sermon a couple Sundays ago, and he really pounded the importance of getting to know each other. And he mentioned certain people, and he talked about what they do, their professions. what their hobbies are, different things. I had no clue some of these things about some of you. And it's because I haven't got to know you like I should. And I was really excited to start doing that, and I hadn't got started yet, and Brother Jacob called me and asked if Lorelli and I would come over and have dinner with them. And I think it was last Sunday with Jacob and GFA. And we just had the best visit and got to know each other better. And, you know, that's really establishing a foundation where the body can be strengthened, where we can learn to love each other better and serve each other, and the body can function better. I'm going to finish this sermon with back in Moroni, chapter 7. Because we can't love one another unless we have the gift of God. That true love, charity. And I'm going to read this last verse to encourage us to seek that love of God, that we might be able to shine his light from our corner. Moroni 7, verse 53, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure." Amen.